We've got your PlayStation State of Play recap, a bunch of little tidbit news pieces, and some upcoming games for you. Let's jump into it. What is up, guys? Welcome to Diggity, a video game podcast, episode number 173. I'm Jeff James. As always, with me, the incredible, unobtainable, Luscious Brody Fultz. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Just pretty good. It's been a really busy week, so I'm ready for it to end, but it hasn't been a bad week necessarily. It's just hectic.
Thank God the weekend's almost here.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Which?
It's right there.
Which, by the way, if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. If this is your second time, holy shit, we kept you. moving forward to that, we upload every single Friday morning is when you'll get the show. So you can go in knowing that the weekend's ahead of you, and your second favorite thing would be listening to us, of course, right?
Well, naturally.
Right? Yeah, right next to finding a vaccine. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at Diggity Podcast. Like I said before, subscribe if this is the first time, or please tell your friends about the podcast, as the right thing to do is to spread the great gospel of Diggity. With that, Brody, would you like to get into our upcoming game releases? We got a decent amount.
Yeah, not too bad here. August 7th, Fast and Furious Crossroads is coming. I'm pretty sure that got delayed. Just kidding. That's not coming. Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition will launch on PC. Inertial Drift is coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. On August 11th, Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Infinite Combat is coming to PC, PS4, and Switch. On August 12th, Pop-Up Dungeon is coming to PC. And August 13th, A Total War Saga, Troy, is coming to PC. And Kill It With Fire is coming to PC. This is another week my wallet will be safe. Nothing here for me.
Is it a good thing that Fast Furious got delayed?
I don't think it's going to matter. Just being really honest here. I haven't actually kept up on that.
Do we think people will actually go buy that and play that? Because the problem is the movies. Every time there's a damn movie, which there's another movie coming out. And just let's put this out there. We're in a pandemic, and there's still a Fast and the Furious coming out. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. this thing has to be all in front of a green screen, not that the other ones weren't at this point. They're supposedly in space as well this time, which, boy, you know, I don't know if there's not many other locations that Fast and the Furious hasn't been. I mean, maybe like, no, they've been in the Arctic.
they've been everywhere at this
rainforest?
Point.
Rainforest and maybe like a Ross is all that's left for like Fast and Furious to take place then. But yeah, I don't see the game selling that well at all. But
I
I mean,
especially with as bad as it looked.
Are you looking it up right now?
I'm
trying to see.
I'm trying to see. I can't find a definite release date for it because I know it did get. It was supposed to come out in May. No, it releases on the 7th. So when you're listening to this. Okay. No, you can go pick up Fast and Furious Crossroads.
Here's a spoiler.
On everything, by the way.
Here's a spoiler for the game. Vin Diesel doesn't die.
Yeah, yeah. He also can not lose a fight. It's in his contract. Him and The Rock both. That's why they've ended some fights in ties. Not kidding.
I know.
It's a very true thing.
So stupid, dude. All right, moving on to some news. We're going to jump through what will be compatible for PlayStation 5 going forward. So this information comes straight from a recently released PlayStation blog to clear up some confusion because, my God, has there ever been a huge amount of confusion. And honestly, I'm not confused by it. You're not really confused by it.
No.
It just seems to be Twitter.
Go figure. Yeah, it's Twitter and basically most of the people that don't keep up with this. I mean, that's one benefit of this is you stay up on all of the news coming out about all these kinds of things, or at least have a pretty good idea of what's going on. But yeah, if you're just a general consumer, you're probably not tracking this like we have to.
Yeah. So to start off specifically, specialty peripherals such as officially licensed racing wheels, arcade sticks, and fight sticks will work with PS5 games and supported PS4 games. That was something going around Twitter this whole week of like, oh, I'm not going to be able to use any of my shit. And no, You can, because that's been proven that you absolutely can. And then the platinum and gold wireless headsets, as well as third-party headsets that connect via USB port or audio jack, will also work on PlayStation 5. The Headset Companion app is not compatible with the PS5, though, which, I mean, whatever. The DualShock 4 wireless controller and PlayStation officially licensed third-party gamepad controllers will work with supported PS4 games on your PS5. Both the PS Move motion controllers and the PlayStation VR aim controller will work with supported PSVR games also on PS5.
Yeah,
do not worry.
The big confusion here is a lot of people don't think that the DualShocks are going to work. They are, just for PlayStation 4 games alone, though.
Which is fine, because guess what? You get a PlayStation 5 controller.
You get
in the
one
box.
In the box.
So you're not left out in the snow.
The reasoning behind that is they want to utilize the new features being added in the PlayStation 5 controller. And,
yeah.
I mean, so you can kind of, you know, drag your finger up on the trackpad to make the wind show you where you need to go kind of thing. But, I mean, this is about exactly what I expected from the get-go from PlayStation. That's generally, mm-hmm. I mean, in the past, they've never had any, like, your controller carries over to the next thing, which then again, we didn't have that with Xbox either. So, but Xbox is very much more in the kind of realm of everything goes forward with you, which is great.
However, it's hard on the dev and innovation, right? I mean, like, you got to cap it off. I mean, obviously their controller didn't really fucking change
right.
for the Xbox, but I mean, I get it. I don't know why people complain so much.
Yeah, and the bad part about this is about being so, like, into this whole realm of gaming. You get to see the ugly side of fandom. And there was a post from Xbox where they were simply just saying all of your stuff will work going forward. This is from the Xbox UK account. And then people started attacking everyone in that comment section because it was they were saying that they were bragging that all our controllers are moving forward, and they're like, well, the only reason they're moving forward is because you didn't change the controller and yada. I'm like, oh boy, this is getting out of hand real quick. Just I'm ready for these consoles to launch, because I feel like up to these consoles launching, it has been ugly as shit.
It's gonna get extremely ugly the first couple months that they're out, because it's gonna be comparison after comparison. You're gonna have, like, you know, the IGN side by side, we press the power button at the exact same time,
which
you can see the Xbox turned on 3 seconds faster than the PS5, and then someone just shit posts, that's because their fucking processor isn't as good. No, just doing its own little BIOS checks. Just fucking doing its thing, dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's I'm ready for them to launch, but yeah, it'll be ugly for a few months, and then hopefully it will kind of die down, and whatever you ended up deciding to buy, no one cares. That's fine.
What a year. We have a global pandemic, a U.S. election, and the next generation of consoles launching. An absolute shit show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Show.
So the Microsoft Store is getting revamped on on Xbox. Thank God. So things they're claiming about this new store, it will be faster. They are claiming that the new store will be twice as fast as before. They're claiming it will be under 2 seconds, which faster than 20 seconds, it's still twice as fast as what it is
claiming
currently.
Claiming the store will be twice as fast, so it'll be mediocre.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, if it's half as fast, twice as fast, it will be like 20 seconds, and you might finally get to the page you want to get to. It is supposed to be easier, so this is going to be a complete redesign of the layout of the store. This will set things up to where you can actually navigate it and figure out where you're going. This will update the search function. A rebuilt wish list feature will come around. A updated shopping cart and backwards compatible prices are finally visible within the store.
Wow, incredible. It's almost like they had that information the entire time.
Right. You don't have to go into the emulated version of the store, essentially, to find out what the price is. It's,
yes,
thank God. And then it's supposed to be safer. So this is mainly for filtering out the store for children's accounts and more of the child lock features more than anything. The new store is in beta now for some Xbox insiders and will be available for more insiders as it continues to roll out, as they tend to do with these.
I'm going to go ahead and just shitpost on this. Can I?
Go for it. Have you tried it?
No, and okay. I don't need to. They're claiming that the new store will be twice as fast as before. Cool. The new store should be four times faster than what it is now.
Yeah.
It's going to launch in under 2 seconds, probably crash in one. It'll be easier to use. I highly doubt it. Microsoft's not great at UI and definitely not UX. Search function, Bing. A rebuilt wish list feature. That's cool. I mean, that's great because it is a little confusing. An updated shopping cart. Sure. Typically, I'm buying one game at a time. I'm not loading my fucking
shopping cart. This isn't. It's not like I'm going for groceries right now.
This ain't no Kroger. And backwards compatible prices. Thank God. Finally. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, it's only been like 5 years.
Safer. Safer is always good.
Safer's great.
Keep kids safe, especially now that your system accepts anyone to submit games, including waifu simulators. And the new store being available now in beta, that's cool too. I don't know. I mean, here's my pro tip. Maybe don't make buttons half the fucking screen.
Fair enough.
Like, the problem with that shop,
the tiles.
It's the
tile layout.
Well, tiles are great because they work in PlayStation. But you need to have a grid system for your tiles, or else you just have tiles everywhere. Yeah. I mean, when you go, it's like someone tiling a floor, right? You need to have them organized, and you need to have a pattern. And it's like walking into like one of those fucking mosaic tile floors. Is what the Xbox store is like, where there's just tiles everywhere, all different colors, different things everywhere.
Abstract as shit.
Yeah.
No, you know? It does seem like it. I mean, from the screenshots I saw, and I have not gotten to try this on mine yet. I don't know if I even got the update yet, so I haven't turned my Xbox on since this launched, but it does seem like it will be easier. It looks like there's a drop-down menu, and it actually has things labeled where it's like, new releases, most popular, this, and this.
It's very PC looking.
Which I'm okay with, personally.
Yes.
That is where Microsoft seems to shine, is kind of more of a PC type of thing, so let's fucking go for it. And if it's even at least a little bit faster, I'm going to be happy about it, even though I probably will shit on it, because at the end of the day, the Xbox store has been pretty rough. Yeah, if it's better, great, but it's still probably not where it should be. But we'll see. Like I said, I hope I got the update. If not, I guess I'll wait until I get to try it and pass on that info. But
it seemed to run fairly smooth. Major Nelson did a little demo on the Xbox blog, and it did run fairly smooth. It launches in pretty quickly on his machine. He's running an X, so I don't know how this is gonna run on
day one, baby.
I don't know about the old day one gang, dude. The OGs, but I mean, stuff seemed like it ran pretty good in its menu system. Like, it refreshed the images a lot easier. The problem I saw was like when you went to go like download or click on certain things, there's still like a little bit of like chunkiness to it, where like it would just, I don't know. It was weird. It was like they'd move from tile to tile, and like it would kind of like jitter a bit.
Yeah.
Which, you know, could just be some bugs that they'll squish and stuff like that. That's great.
Right. Yeah, it is still in beta, so there's a chance that some of this improves even further.
They are using the tile system, obviously, and tiles in some fashion, but you move in a horizontal fashion. So
which is
your vertical,
much more similar to PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation. Vertical is your category, genre, or main title topic. And then your horizontal is your subcategory or folder or list in this entity. So, but lots of cool, a lot nicer artwork too. It's not like
it looks
really
showcase
games a lot nicer, which is good. So, interesting. All right, well, more Microsoft stuff. Project xCloud will fully launch on September 15th. So with Game Pass Ultimate, you'll have access to over 100 games that will be playable from your mobile device. The launch will include 22 different countries. Xbox is also pairing with Razer, Power A, 8-bit Do, oh my God, 8-bit Do, and Nacon to design new accessories with xCloud specifically in mind. Did I botch Nacon? Is it Nacon?
What is Don't it? Know.
All right. xCloud will also support. Good. All right. xCloud will also support Xbox One controllers and DualShock 4 controllers, which is crazy. It'd be interesting to see if the PS5 controller gets supported down the road. I'm assuming so.
I would think so.
It's a Bluetooth controller, but also something to add to this that wasn't put in here. Apple.
Oh yeah, they roadblocked the shit out of it.
Yeah, so there's like some, I mean, obviously people get butthurt about some Apple stuff. This is, it's kind of interesting. Like, I mean, one, Apple's totally doing it for a couple of reasons. One, Apple Arcade, right? They don't want competing products on it. Two, if they're going to have a service like that, they're going to want like some sort of a share out of the profits going through that through their subscription, because the way that you subscribe through the App Store is different. And so they want a piece of that. And I think they've done that with some bigger apps, like Netflix, for example, and stuff like that, which honestly, it kind of makes sense in some fashion. But this stuff is more that they want to be able to verify every single game.
Right.
Separately before the system goes up.
Which is a nightmare.
Yeah, it would be a nightmare for adding new games and stuff like that. But it's kind of stupid because it's like this gray area where they're not separate applications, right? Like they're running through Microsoft servers.
Right.
So it's not like the game is actually installed on your device. You're just installing a client, essentially. So I don't know. It's Microsoft and Apple don't like each other. Obviously, that's not
anything new.
Honestly, though, Microsoft's probably going to have to either play by Apple's rules or they're going to have to meet in the middle somewhere because they're going to want that market.
Right.
They're not going to not want that. I mean, they totally fucking have to do that. But Apple just absolutely just threw a fucking wrench into their asshole right before their launch. into their plans, dude. Just right in the butt.
I don't think they're too surprised by this, honestly, because they ran into the same issue when they were first launching the beta xCloud, and it was a very limited, like, 1,000 people type number that could actually play it on iOS. I'm pretty sure Microsoft saw this coming, but you might as well get it out to Android users at this point and move on with it, I guess, and go from there. But, I mean, worst case scenario, you could pick up a cheap Android tablet and go route. I mean, there's like $50
Android.
Pick up an
Amazon Fire tablet. Yeah,
right.
For like $60.
Yeah, and you'd be fine. I mean,
personally,
it's not
I'd
like
probably
the greatest
play on
thing,
tablet.
But yeah, it would be.
I mean,
be
I'd rather
good.
Play on a tablet anyways than a phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, the only thing I'd be looking at this is for my iPad. That's about it. I mean, there's no way I want to use my iPhone on the controller. Like, no thank you. A little too small. Maybe if I had like the Max, the 11. Yeah. Pro Max or whatever, but not
that new that size. Or that Razer controller that is out right now is pretty sweet. Goes around your phone. That one's pretty cool, but I think that's geared more towards
gamers.
It's something like that. It's your typical Razer type branding where it's, you know, very in your face and kind of
black
like,
and green.
Yeah, black and green.
RGB, Medusa.
Yeah.
Medusa snakes.
So this is something that you actually tweeted about today. Pikmin 3 Deluxe has been announced for the Nintendo Switch. Awesome. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Excited to see Pikmin finally making its way to the Switch.
Yep.
So it does have a few new features. So there is an all-new side story, a multiplayer for both the story mode and the DLC stages, and head-to-head bingo battles with online leaderboards.
You're damn right.
What you've always wanted.
You're damn right.
The game will launch for $59.99 on October 30th because Nintendo doesn't release a game for under $60. And the Wii U version has now been removed from the eShop. And at that time, it was actually a Nintendo Select title, so it was like $20 on the Wii U shop. Granted, nobody owns a Wii U, but still the principle of it. Shady.
Yeah.
It's not the first time Nintendo has done this either.
No. But it's not the first nor the last time that they'll do this to my heart. The multiplayer for story mode, we definitely got to do that, dude. For sure.
Yeah, that will be awesome.
The bingo battles, move over, Grandma. I'm on Pikmin now. See ya. Yeah, the game launching. I mean, it's not just the $60. It's the fact that they took it down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pretty shady. And again, they've done it in the past. And it's one of those things, like, I saw a few comments that were talking about it, and they were like, you know, Nintendo does this, and it's shitty, and it sucks, but damn it, I'm still going to go out and buy it. You're like, yeah, and that's why they keep doing it. And the person commenting that was even like, I know I'm part of the problem, but damn it, I can't help it.
Yeah, so for $59.99, I'm fine with that, with the game being that. My problem is the fact that they remove it from something else. I mean, obviously people don't, I mean, there's people that have Wii U. Like, there's a good amount of people that have Wii U, you know?
A few. Dozens of them, they say.
Okay, well, there's 12 people hurt. I don't know. I just think that's kind of shitty.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
I, like, you know, I mean, Ed over at Boss Rush, or, yeah, they're all encompassing at Boss Rush, yeah, not just the Nintendo Power Block. You know, he had tweeted, oh, then you got to put Grand Theft Auto. People who bought Grand Theft Auto each time, too, with this in the same camp. Like, well, Grand Theft Auto was fucking free through Epic Games Store. Like, it's been free. It's been on sale. Yeah. Okay. It's Pikmin 3. This is on the Wii U.
Right. Yeah. But GTA launched on last gen. And then launched again on this gen, held its price for a long time.
Hell yeah, it did.
And then just in the last year and a half, 2 years, you finally saw it drop pretty decently. I don't know. It's one of those things that Nintendo does it because they know they can get away with it, because Nintendo people will buy Nintendo games over and over and over. I mean, I didn't have Pikmin 3 on the Wii U, so it's a little bit different situation for me. I personally, it doesn't bug me, but I also didn't own a Wii U at all. So for me, yeah, I'm going to go out and buy this, no problem, and I'll sleep fine at night. But yeah, for some people, it sucks. I've also bought Grand Theft Auto like 3 times now, so there's that. Actually, I 3 or 4 times. So yeah, that's where I stand on that. I'm like, yeah, if anybody got me, it was fucking Rockstar, okay?
Yeah, that's fair enough. I was a little stunned that it's just Pikmin 3 Deluxe. There's definitely enough people that would want a new Pikmin.
Oh,
I can't be wrong on that.
I'm surely they have to be working on it, I would think.
God,
and
I
this
hope
is just
so.
Kind of that like intro thing, like, hey, here's Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Hopefully it's not like a Bayonetta situation where they're like, hey, here's Bayonetta 1 and 2, and 3's coming. Just kidding. It's not really. It's not. It doesn't even exist. It does actually exist, supposedly, in some form, but it's not out
dimension.
Yet.
In another dimension, dude.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, well, moving on. What have you been playing this week? I mean, have you jumped around from anything different, tried anything different this week?
Not really. A lot of Ghost of Tsushima, Final Fantasy 14, and I guess there was 2 new things that I played. So I played Monument Valley on my phone, both 1 and 2, all the way through. I beat 2 basically in like 1 sitting, and I beat 1 in probably 2 sittings and all the DLC. but it was, I had the Google Play Pass or whatever, and so those were on there, and it was getting ready.
Is
I
that
had
like Apple Arcade?
Yeah, similar. No. Not nearly as good, but this was like, I think I had a month free trial, so it was coming to an end. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta play these games. So I went through and powered through them, and they're fantastic. Very, very short, though. I mean, they are good. Maybe a couple hours worth of like puzzle fun, but it's really cool what they do with it and like playing with perspectives and all of this. Really, really enjoyed my time with them. And then I also started playing Fall Guys. So that it just launched on PlayStation, is also one of the free games for the month. It's actually a lot of fun. It did have some issues, but
is it like Game Beast kind of?
I've seen that comparison, and I get what they're kind of going for with that comparison, but so it reminds me, it's almost like Wipeout, except for with like 60 people, and it has kind of like that wonky physics. I mean, you're not like grabbing or throwing people. You can grab people, but it's not really too crazy. So there's a bunch of different mini games, and like the first round, for the most part, has always seemed to be like a race to the finish type of thing. And so they'll eliminate so many in that first round. And then from that round, you actually start going into mini games. And there's a bunch of different mini games, and I've tried a handful of them, and some of them are team based. Some of them are kind of more of just like a solo thing, like another race to the finish type of thing, but just in a different format. The team games are kind of awful. I don't really care for them because my team really just completely just didn't do the objective, and that's very frustrating. But overall, it's a lot of fun. I think I made it to like level 5. It has like a free battle pass type system. And I think I made it all the way to level 5. And as you go through this battle pass system, you unlock stuff, and it's all kind of goofy. I mean, it's all wonky stuff, right? But from the time I spent with it last night, I had a lot of fun. It would be a game that would be really fun to get into a party with some people and run through, and it's a good time.
Huh. How about you? Played COD, right?
I don't know if I did play any COD. I really don't think I did. Maybe very briefly. Yeah. Oh,
okay. I know that you, in the group chat, you posted about this stuff. You just saw that or something?
Oh,
like
yeah. I just read that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. For me, Paper Mario. It's been a busy week, but I've got lots of stuff done. My goal is to be able to rip some Paper Mario tomorrow night and rip some Paper Mario in the afternoon or evening on my weekend. I want to get through it a lot more. I want to try to beat it, honestly. Yeah. By next week's podcast.
Really?
Yeah. I want to be able to give like a full-blown review on it and stuff like that. Really love it though right now. Honestly, mine has not changed at all. Still happy with the battle system. Happy with the story. Happy with everything. I don't think it's the best. I don't think it's the best. I mean, you just borrow it from me after I'm done it. I'll just give it to
that
you.
That is
borrow.
An option.
But I don't think it's like the best Paper Mario. But I think it's like
a good one. At least.
It's one of my favorite Mario games.
Really?
Yeah, I think my brother actually said this pretty well, that it is more like, it still keeps some of the roots of Paper Mario, but it might have well just been a Mario game. Yeah. But it, I mean, that's still okay. Like, I'm still happy with that. But I mean, it's definitely a little bit away from a normal Paper Mario, but nonetheless a great game at that. So
it's amazing to me how Mario games are just like so captivating still. I mean, they do a lot of good stuff, but man, they really do have this way of just like, it's good fun.
This one definitely is like, it's a lot different tone. Like, it tries to be a lot more goofier. Yeah. Like, way goofier. Like just weird things will happen. Or, like, the characters have, like, more attention detail in like, their voices or the sounds that they make. Or little, like, snippets and stuff that are just, like, ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That are almost like a Saturday morning cartoon style thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. And then, I mean, there's so many different mechanics in the game. That are introduced in it, that it feels like it could be a whole nother like series of Mario game, but not Paper Mario. It's really weird, but great. You'll understand what I'm saying when you borrow it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to play it. It's fantastic. It's absolutely unreal. All right, moving on. Some kind of what, bigger news, I guess, or
yeah,
well, a small piece of news before we get into state of play stuff.
Small piece of news that sparked a giant debate online.
A
holy
giant shitstorm. So Spider-Man will be a PlayStation-only character in the upcoming Marvel's Avengers games. And he'll be free DLC in early 2021. Is this anti-consumer? It started a huge debate on the internet. Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man.
Yep. It's that simple.
That's it, baby. I mean, there's a reason why the Spider-Man game is only on a PlayStation.
Yep. And there was even debate about that. People were getting in the weeds on that. Like, oh, no, Sony only owns the rights to him in movies. Not true. They own them basically in any digital
any
format.
Form. Yeah.
Digital format. Not. I mean, there are some realms where they don't quite necessarily own them.
The theme park realm is super weird.
Yeah, the theme park realm and even, like, toys. Like, certain types of toys owned by Hasbro, and that's why, like, all the Funko Pops, all the Marvel ones are bobbleheads, because that's the only way they could make them, because they have to be bobbleheads at that point. Anything that's Marvel. It's weird.
So what was the argument here? The arguments it's anti-consumer. What does that mean?
People are all sorts of angry that they said, well, Spider-Man's one of the most popular characters and he's coming to PlayStation because they signed a specific deal with PlayStation. No, not true. In order to use him, they had to get PlayStation on board and basically just make him for the PlayStation version, which, I mean, their arms were kind of tied behind their back on this. They can't do anything about it. It's just the way it is. Now, I guess if you wanted to make that argument, you could argue that PlayStation was slightly anti-consumer about it, where, they're not looking out for the people below them, and they're trying to get people to come to their ecosystem, yada, yada, yada. This isn't from everything I've seen on this game so far, this is not going to be the game that drags people into playing on PlayStation. Like, no. This is not going to be it.
This game is looking like a hot mess right now.
If anything, it's like Spider-Man Miles Morales would drag more people to get a PlayStation than Marvel's Avengers is by 100%. A long shot.
Plus, why would you put the character that you own the rights to in another game to go multi-platform when you have this character used in games that can only be played on your system?
Right. I don't understand why people are so surprised here. I guess, again, I don't know if I'm just taking for granted the fact that we've been in this whole world of in the weeds gaming type of stuff where you have to kind of look into a lot of this stuff where most people don't. Like, it sucks. I mean, I'm a big Spider-Man fan, but at the same token, we've kind of already talked, and I'm probably going to be playing on PlayStation anyway. And on top of that, I'm not even sure I'm going to play this game, even though I have heard some okay things about it from some of the people that have played the beta early. I don't know. I'm not sold on it yet, but I get why people are angry. But at the same token, the only reason Spider-Man's still around is because Marvel sold all of these rights to their characters a while back to keep them afloat. Well, I mean, to various different companies, depending on what it was.
Right.
Like Fox and things like that. So that's what kept Marvel alive and allowed them to get to the point that they are. Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, they don't have all of their properties back necessarily, but it's business. It's the way it works, unfortunately.
Here's the thing too, anyways, is if the fact that Spider-Man is going to be an exclusive character on a PlayStation, do you really think the game is going to be that different without Spider-Man in terms of like the story, using him, all that kind of shit? I mean, the fact that they can just interchange him like that and produce the same game but they just don't have Spider-Man in it
I think the big thing there is most of this game is going to be online. A lot of it's not even going to be story things. So it's just going to be you select a character, select a skin, go through it.
Watch there be 30 other characters that come out and like three characters on Xbox you can only get on Xbox.
Yeah. I'm sure they have all sorts of deals. Yeah. There's things going on behind the curtain type of deal. But yeah, I mean, Spider-Man is if you're going to lose a Marvel character, that's one that really does suck to lose, because he is such a major staple for Marvel. But at the same time, I think you're going to be all right. It will be okay. I'm sorry.
No, you stop. I'm hurt. I'm so hurt. That's business, dude.
Yep. It's not fun, but it is.
We might
business.
Sit here. We're gonna sit here in possibly 6 to 7 years. Same fucking thing's gonna be happening with Xbox. Oh, this game's only coming to Xbox. Yeah, because they own the fucking studio.
Right. Well, and yeah, and that was some of the pushback from PlayStation fans, where they're like, okay, but if we were to do this about, you know, something exclusive coming to Xbox, they're like, then all of a sudden we're being crybabies about it. But people that are mad because Spider-Man, a single character from a game, is going to be exclusive to...
God.
Yeah, no, I fully get it. I think it's dumb to complain about it. I mean, it sucks, yeah, again, but at the same token, like... It is what it is. I don't understand why at this point, as long as gaming has been like this, which has at least been through the, you know, the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360.
There's some shit you can only get from PlayStation for COD off a bag of Doritos.
Right. There's all sorts of shit like that happens in gaming. And then, like, but once you get a major IP like Marvel and Spider-Man, all of a sudden it's this, like, terrible thing that everybody turns a blind eye towards everything else that's happened over the past 15 years, and now all of a sudden this is just a major issue. It's like,
we just need to pray to God that Tom Holland goes on Twitter and asks Bob Iger to talk to Sony.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen, especially since Tom Holland doesn't have anything to do with the Spider-Man.
Why
would Tom Holland have anything to do with this Spider-Man?
Who's the guy that plays him in Spider-Man?
I don't know. Oh, Tom Holland plays him in the movies, but entirely different thing. I mean, they're not even the same voice actors.
What did he tweet out,
anything,
though, a while ago, though? He tweeted out something and it got done.
Oh, I don't remember. I do remember hearing
the contract was ending for films or something like that, and Bob Iger said, okay, I'll take care of it, from his tweet, and took care of it.
I'm sure that was probably in the works beforehand. Probably. But I'm pretty sure Tom Holland wanting to keep it the way it was not what broke the camel's back.
People are going to go buy this game, and then a bunch of people are going to shit on this game. And
yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to happen. I hope the game's good. I really do. But hasn't been looking like it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
All of this flack might have been for nothing. Imagine that, right? On Twitter.
No, never on Twitter. All right, so here's the meat and potatoes of this episode, I guess, now that we're 40 minutes in. We'll probably try to burn through this pretty quick here. So this was the PlayStation State of Play. It took place today, August 6th, 2020, which obviously this is the day we record it. So temper your expectations right now if you haven't already, as it was stated prior to the presentation that there would not be any major PlayStation 5 news, and there certainly was not. So if you have been waiting solely for that, thanks for listening, but
you're gonna wait more.
we don't have any. So first, we got an in-depth look at Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. So there will be new platforming abilities, tons of new costumes with no microtransactions, some other new playable characters like Dingo Dial, and there will also be an inverted mode, which is going to be like a new challenge type mode that they have, and it's like inverted colors and everything. Honestly, I think this game looks really good, and they've done a lot of things to bring Crash into more of a modern era, to where there's more checkpoints to make it a little bit easier and less frustrating. Yeah. And honestly, I like the idea of Crash, but the old Crash Bandicoot games are very hard to play. So this actually plays like a proper modern, what I would expect from a modern Crash, like, this is going to be awesome, and I'm actually kind of excited for this. How about you?
I'm pretty stoked about it. I mean, it looks a lot more like a Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Like, on its way to being something like that. I mean, not the same polish, but pretty close. And then the inverted game mode is kind of cool. I mean, there's inverted colors, but then they're showing some other stuff where there's like an old-time cinema.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on in it.
To a level, and there's like one where every time you have to hit paint, and it paints the the level for you, so you know where you need to go next. I mean, that was pretty cool. My thing is a jumping mechanic. I just hope the jumping is better than...
Not as floaty, a little bit more precise.
It looks like it, though, in the trailer. And I'm like,
yeah.
But the cosmetics are cool. I mean, I was never really expecting microtransactions, so thank you for doubling down.
Yeah, it's owned by Activision.
Toys for Bob from that, but...
owned by Activision. You always have to expect microtransactions.
Yeah, it'd be a Crash Battle Pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. Oof.
Yeah, rough. But new Hitman 3 trailer and a release date of January 2021, though in the trailer it was kind of hard to tell because they also announced that the entire trilogy will be coming to PSVR, and then they showed off the thing saying January 2021, but I am fairly certain that that is for the new Hitman game and not for the PlayStation VR version of the entire trilogy. Not sure when those are coming. So
well, I'm sure we'll find out on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sure. Braid Anniversary Edition. So this is a side-scrolling platformer for those of you that have never played it. It has pretty much been rebuilt from the ground up. It looks like they did a lot of work with animations and
repainted it.
Repainted the entire thing. I mean, they did a ton of work on this thing. So if you're a fan of Braid, this is definitely worth picking up. This we were talking about it before the show, but this really is not my thing. I'm not a huge fan of the art style, but I think what they've done is really cool, and I do like I like the backgrounds, but the character models kind of throw me off more or less.
Yeah, I dig the art style a little bit more than you, but my thing with this one is they built a whole commentary section in it, and it like in depth discusses how they made the game. So if you want to learn how to you know how they made a game like Braid, definitely pick this thing up because it looks like the commentary that they point out they have like different it looked like it was a menu system that you basically go into and you can learn like each world and how they did each different thing and even the characters, and they like point out things with arrows and the audio commentary with it, and they walk through with team members of how they built what and how they did this and why they did this to develop the game that way. It's really cool that they decided to do something like that. So definitely go check that out. And it looks absolutely gorgeous on the PS5. And it's, I mean, it used to be a pixel game.
Right.
Like, I mean, it was, and or it looks, it was a painted game that was then, you know, skinned into it. And now it's like, I mean, it basically looks like a bunch of just standard, you know, vectors from like Illustrator that you could just blow up to the size of a billboard and they wouldn't lose any sort of resolution or quality. That I mean, it's insanely pretty.
Yeah, they did a good
job.
Yeah,
check that out for sure. Check that out.
The Pathless got some gameplay footage and kind of explained what was going on here. So a big part of this trailer was showing off the traversal, which it has a huge basis in like shooting targets, essentially, as you move.
Yeah.
This allows you to move quicker throughout the world and maybe like make certain jumps that you couldn't make otherwise and stuff like that. I really got a lot of Journey vibes going on here. Like, I mean,
yeah,
this is
exactly
essentially 3D Journey to me with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, I didn't really understand, like, I don't know. There's no, like, story to it. Perhaps there will be one in the game when it comes out.
Right.
And obviously you had to destroy, you know, different creatures, spirit creatures. But the moving around, like, really quick with the bow and sliding around the grass and, like, you grab, like, your falcon and you can like fly and stuff like that. That's cool, but it seems like it would get very old quickly.
Oh yeah.
Like zipping around everywhere, having to hit basically auto aim these targets to get a speed boost to where you're running around. And then there's some cool stuff where it's like your falcon, you have to like pet your falcon to make sure that, you know, it feels good. and then it will fly for you again. I don't know. It was really weird. But there's no there's all this stuff about like the mechanic of sliding around and doing all these things, which can feel really cool, right? It can make you feel badass, but
I mean, that was really most like, of what they talked about today too. Was
that's all they kind of showed?
It was like the sliding and stuff, and then very briefly, they just kind of blew through everything else. Yeah. And like, here you go.
And they showed puzzles. They're like, you can go to these like ancient ruins and like get these puzzles done. And it's like, but wait, like, what am I getting these done for?
Yeah, it
like,
seems
like,
very.
Why
aimless.
Am I playing this game?
It seems very aimless. It seems like they're really going for that kind of like, I don't know, Zen type feel of just being there. And
it looks cool. Yeah. I mean, I'll give them that, but I mean, it looks like a Game Pass game.
It very much does, and
not in a bad way. I don't mean that in a shitty way. I mean, like, yeah, it means like a mid-tier Game Pass game. Like, hey, it's coming to Game Pass. Blah 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 blah. You know, right. I just don't. I mean, it's like you said, it's a journey. Obviously, it's got a different. I mean, it's an artsy game. I think.
And we're not artsy people, clearly. I mean, to that extent, not for games. Yeah. So Spelunky 2 got a deep dive of kind of some gameplay and showing off new characters, new items. Again, I'm out on the art style on this one alone.
Did you ever get into this?
No.
I never really got into Spelunky either, and it wasn't even the art style. I just didn't see the attraction. Apparently, it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, people
and, I
love
mean,
it.
Tons of people played it.
Oh, yeah. Right?
It's like one of the best-selling games on like Steam. But, I don't know. I just never since Minecraft was around that time, too. And it's like, everyone's making a mind game.
I've never had the interest enough to try it, I guess. I don't know. There's nothing about it that has kind of captivated me and been like, hey, I should probably try this game. And I know people love it and people talk it up all the time, but I don't know.
So this one's, I mean, take it with a grain of salt of what I kind of dive a little bit deeper into this for the trailer from not playing really Spelunky, but Spelunky 2. Apparently this is going to feel more open. There's more stuff. There's also multiplayer, which is the biggest thing.
I think the last one had multiplayer because he was talking about stories that he heard from fans.
I thought it was co-op, and then we're awful for speaking on this. Anyways,
yeah, this is clearly not our game.
The game's more open feeling apparently, from what was said in the trailer. And on top of that, there's tons of, you know, hidden Easter eggs and stuff, which is something that people loved and would share different Easter eggs. The shops are more meaningful. There's better items in them. And there's just funky things that happen in game, as well as, you know, finding different caverns and different secret areas and passages. So looks cool. I'm sure it's going to sell like hotcakes
because
the first one has built up an incredible fan base. And it sounds like both of us at least got to give it a try at some point just to save played Spelunky. Maybe, I don't know.
Next,
I'll do it.
Attaboy. Next up, we kind of got a few, not really quick trailers, but they didn't have any announcement really tied to them. They were just trailers and take them for what they are. But first off, they showed up Genshin Impact, which is an anime action adventure game. This is from the developers of Honkai Impact 3?
Honkai,
which is actually a mobile game, but it is kind of regarded as like one of the like better mobile games, and like it actually... I've tried it before. It controls very...
It's better than Candy Crush?
Well, I mean, it's a different genre of mobile game, right?
I'm throwing shade.
But, and this will be coming fall of 2020. The only thing I kind of worry about with this is that it is going to feel a little mobile gamey, or maybe just a little simple overall. We'll probably see a little simple. But I mean, it looks good. I mean, especially for going from mobile games to this, I think it actually looked very, very good, especially for anime games, which tend to not always look the greatest. Aeon Must Die was the next one they showed off, which appears to be a side-scrolling action game with really awesome art style. It was kind of hard to tell whether it was really it doesn't seem like there's going to be much platforming, but it seems like it's most of what they showed off was like combat. Yeah, it was kind of in cutscenes. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm interested.
I think it's just like an arcade fighter.
That's kind of what I was getting.
And then there's cutscenes in between, because some of the cutscenes, some of them were 3D models with that art style, and then some of them were just like drawn.
There was
like full blown just drawn animation.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, but it was
like Gundam.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was like a Gundam and like Tron had a baby.
Yeah,
and that's what the art style was.
I'm fucking here for it. I'm ready.
All right, there you go.
This will be coming in 2021. Yeah, that's my Spelunky, I guess. And then the last one was Anno Mutinem. So this was actually another really neat looking action side scrolling game. Lots of side scrollers here. This will be coming December 2020. Not again, these three, you didn't get a whole lot of deep dives or anything here, kind of explaining what they were. They were just kind of more of just a trailer and showing them off. And honestly, these three games were probably my highlights of this entire presentation. So I'm kind of actually excited about all three of these.
Oh, moving on from that, we got the highly anticipated Bugsnax gameplay. Bugsnax. It's a first person game. So there's that, which we kind of knew from the first trailer.
Right.
And then as our show notes point out, we still don't know what the fuck this game is.
It's
just someone was on lucid drugs when they made this idea.
This is a fever dream from hell.
and you said while we were out there for technical difficulties for a few egregious minutes with fucking Comcast, that this game's just like a meme.
Oh, absolutely.
And like it just, I mean, memes sell. You know, the meme economy, it's a pretty great economy to be part of. But from what I understand, you're a reporter that works and for a shitty boss that the back of their neck is like a door hinge in how they talk. And
they talk like the Canadians from South Park.
No, because at least the Canadians from South Park, they wobble.
I guess
back
they're
kind of
more Pac-Man like.
This shit's like a sock puppet. Or like if everyone was like Bert from Bert and Ernie in how they talked. That is literally how they talked. So anyways, you're a reporter, you come to the island, you meet this mayor. The mayor says, "Oh, you're the reporter coming here to take photos, aren't you?" And then you're like, "Yeah, I am. I don't know why the fuck I'm here." Sure. And then the trailer went on to, you know, you help villagers around the island capture Bugsnax with bug traps, which seem to be like umbrellas that are made of wicker that come down and they snag up a bug, and then you've got the bug. So, but you had cool stuff. You had like a bug named the Bugger, which is a burger.
God.
Which that's funny, and you fire fucking tomatoes near it, and it follows the tomatoes because you know it likes ketchup. And then there's a carrot. You help. There's like everyone has this weird personality. It's just, I mean, it's gonna sell like fucking hotcakes. I mean, it's
meme potential. I mean,
it's the perfect. It's literally a game built for people who are like streamers online on Twitch that do nothing but fucking scream at everything.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, oh my God, it's a bugger. Oh, and then you just see, thanks for subscribing. Oh my God, look, it's a globber. Oh, thanks for donating $25. Oh, thank you. Oh, multiple camera angles. Fucking the same polygonal light thing on the background in my set. Like everyone else on Twitch with lights behind me. Oh, here's my fucking cool neon sign. I mean, it's literally built for just people to do Let's Plays and just stream shit like that. That's it. Which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yep. It
because
sure
I really don't see what spending thousands of hours developing this game was for. Other than that. If it's someone's dream, hey, it's someone's dream. But I would hedge that this is like, it's like basically making a goat simulator, right?
Yeah. Yeah, more or less. So. I mean, this is, seems like goat simulator, but
anyways,
a little
we
more
also don't
behind
know when
it.
The fuck this, we don't know when this comes out.
Ha, I don't think.
Either. So, going to be next gen, though.
Thank God.
Then we got kind of a trailer and teaser kind of look into Vader Immortal, which is
it comes
VR
out
adventure.
December 2020, by the way.
Oh, Bugsnax?
Yeah.
No, God bless. Santa can bring it to you. Vader Immortal is a VR, Star Wars VR experience. I want to make sure that I put a Star Wars VR experience because that's the subtitle underneath of it on the game. That released on August 25th. I don't think it beats Star Wars Dance.
God. Oh, no.
No, it looks kind of cool. I don't know. Lightsabers are great, but like I feel like when you try to put them in a game and you try to do it either first person in the game or you try to do it VR, it's a dream that everyone wants, but it's a completely repetitive action.
Beat Saber would like a word with you. I mean, one of the highest selling VR games, so clearly it works.
Well, yeah, no, but here's the thing. They're not. It's not combat.
Right. It is a different thing, right?
Beat Saber is fucking cool because you're literally fucking ensuring that the music continues to go, and it's almost a way of like, it's gonna make you feel really good anyways, right? Because your hand eye movement is gonna be going with it, and you're gonna be kicking ass.
Yeah,
it's a great game.
It's very much kind of taps into that whole like Guitar Hero, Rock Band type.
Yeah,
feeling
for sure
as well. Yeah,
I just mean like this Vader Immortal. I mean like, you know, face different droids and stuff. You think it's really going to feel that different? They had different lightsabers. Okay, great.
Yeah, it does kind of seem a little tech demo-y.
It's gimmicky for sure.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be anything too crazy. I think it will sell like crazy because it has Star Wars attached to it, though. And
yeah,
VR.
But I don't think there's a way to even do... I don't think there's a way to do a Star Wars game VR that would be like a full-fledged experience. With everything that a Star Wars character can do, like a Vader, he can jump, you know, 20 fucking stories in the air. You know, he can pull a bunch of shit everywhere. He can use his lightsaber. You know, I mean, I don't know how you would ever do a full-fledged VR game like that that actually feels good. So, yeah. I mean, you're kind of left to... Here's your lightsaber like arena.
There's a couple of like sword fighting like arena type games that I've seen for VR that actually look kind of neat. I mean, there's a little bit of jank inherently with VR most of the time, but yeah, I mean, it actually looked pretty cool, and I've seen some videos of some guy going absolutely batshit crazy in one of those and just killing like 20 people, and it was like the coolest montage of an action movie you've ever seen in your life type of thing. But yeah, it seems like we're still at that weird kind of like demo-y type stage for VR. I still don't think we're just quite there yet. And obviously, there's still new things coming out, and there's been a lot of good VR games, but it still doesn't seem like it's quite to that point of being able to capture, you know, like you're saying, a Star Wars type game where it feels like you are actually Vader to an extent. Like, this is going to feel like you're flailing around in your game room or in your living room while looking at Vader's hands, essentially. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to flow. Then we got a look at the next expansion for Control called Awe. And got the trailer and release date for that, which was August 27th. So, I mean, that's definitely a very sought-after thing that people will go for.
Yeah, that first expansion was
people dig that
very well-beloved. So I can only imagine this is going to sell even better. So,
And then we got a look at Auto Chess. And it was kind of just in there, and the trailer was really confusing. It was just really weird. It felt like it was kind of like mishmashed together, last minute, and, that's going to be there, and we don't know when that's coming up, but
fair enough.
It was in there. Games. Then we got to look at The Pedestrian, which is an interesting puzzle game where you have to arrange signs so the little stick man can get to the exit. Pretty neat.
I love games like this, but I don't want to play it on my PlayStation. I would rather play it on my Switch.
On PC?
I'd rather play it on Switch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd rather play on PC. Okay. Interesting.
Either Switch or mobile, honestly. I mean, just puzzle games I tend to play predominantly on those two types of consoles, or I guess console and phone. But
well, because puzzle games are great to just pick up for a couple minutes, put down.
And when I sit down to play like a console, I actually want to sit down and play a console game. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, this game was good, too.
It looks
awesome. At the start
of
the trailer, I thought, okay, you know. some people have done this before. But then when they showed it, like, you're in the streets and, like, you're on, like, a street sign, and then you'll, you know, you complete that stage of the level, and then it moves back more, and all of a sudden now you're on, like, a billboard.
Yeah.
Or whatever, or some posters that are on a on a.
Even just the transitions were pretty interesting, and in how they kind of captured all that. It was cool.
Yeah, because it goes through different art styles. It's awesome.
Like I said, if this comes to Switch, I'm 100% in. I will buy it day one.
I'm sure that'll come to the Switch.
I would think so.
Yeah, it definitely should. Then we got two new reveal trailers for PlayStation 5 games. So we got to look at Hood, Outlaws, and Legends. So it looks to be a cool cooperative action adventure game, and that's coming 2021. Looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Assassin's Creed-y vibes.
And
some God of War-ish vibes.
Yeah, it had a lot of different things kind of wrapped into one package. From the trailer, it does kind of look like, you know, you can kind of tell it's not a like a major AAA type of thing, but it looked fine enough, and I think they did a lot of cool things, and I think I would be into it, but I don't know necessarily if our group of friends would be into it.
Yeah, I might give it a go and try it, but I don't know if it's really going to retain me that well.
Yeah.
Then the other reveal trailer we got was Temtem, which is coming to PS5. So with this one, I mean, do we think that obviously they're going down on Temtem for combating against Nintendo a little bit, try to get that little slice of a somewhat Pocket Monsters style game?
I don't, because Temtem's coming to Switch as well. So
yeah, but I mean,
it,
is there anything close like that on PlayStation? There's nothing, right?
I'm sure there's something in that realm, probably from like a smaller indie dev type of thing. But
is it coming to Xbox?
I think so. Maybe
you played this, didn't you, or no?
Yeah, I fell off of it pretty quick, not gonna lie.
It, why? I mean, what you might have said it in a previous podcast, but just quickly, why'd you fall off? Like, were some key points?
I think one of the main things that kind of put me off was there was still so much of it that, or a decent chunk of it that was still in development.
So
you'd walk down this long ass path to get somewhere, and you'd get there and be like, this is temporarily closed. And you're like, gah. And I just didn't find most of the Temtems very interesting, and there's not a huge variety of them. So it was just kind of.
Is the things that are closed, though, is that like they're closed for expansions, or is that just like the game was in beta at that point?
Oh, it was still in beta. It was early access when it launched on PC.
All right.
But I feel like a lot of people kind of had the same response I did, because it was here and then it, like, nobody talked about it after January ended pretty much. I mean, it drifted into February a little bit, but it didn't seem like it stuck around very long. And it will be coming to Xbox One, by the way. Shows it's coming to PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch.
I'm super surprised that it's not coming to Game Pass.
Because
that's got Game Pass written.
It very
all
well could
over.
Be. I mean,
huh? Interesting.
Yeah, it's not supposed to launch. The PlayStation 5 version will launch in 2021, and then obviously the Steam version launched January 21st of 2020. So we could still be a ways off from a Microsoft port or an Xbox port at that point. So,
okay. All right. And then to close the show out, we got a closer look at Godfall, Gearbox's game. It mainly showed a better look at the world and weapons. So the combat system seemed pretty cool. Got some like For Honor vibes in it. Obviously, as this is, you know, a melee-based fighter / I guess adventure kind of game / I don't know what. Certain weapons are better at taking down different classes. We also learned that there's clean and precise mechanics that allow the player to feel control at all times during the encounter with an enemy, which was nice. It looked really smooth, like really clean and really smooth. A hint was pointed out that different weapons also have different attributes, but it wasn't really further explained, simply just teased. And we should receive more info in the next PlayStation event or a specific Godfall live stream. At the end of the show, they basically said, hey, we'll have more news for you down the road with PlayStation. and with other Godfall events as well. Valor plates will also have different states and or attributes to them, similar to that of the weapons in game. And valor plates are essentially armor in the game. And most are unsure if the pairing of similar valor plates and weapons with similar design attributes would give stats boosts to your character. But it's a good bet that they do. But we really didn't get that much of an in-depth look into the weapons themselves. We kind of got a lot of, like, this is the world, and here's our combat, and you can see how fluid, and like, we got to see some cool, like, there's some uppercut stuff with shields and shit like that, and with swords. And that was kind of neat, but I don't know. It's not grabbing me.
It's so weird to me that the Valor plates are just, like, one. It's not like you get a chest piece and a head piece and, like... Seems like an odd choice. It really limits your customization. And honestly, you know, once people get into it, they're all going to be essentially running the same Valor plates once a meta's figured out, right?
Yeah, so it's the rest of the game seems to be highly detailed and then has a ton of different moves. And like there's different shit where you know you hit a button at the exact time, it's gonna do less damage, and then you'll be able to hit two buttons at the same time. It's a special move.
Yeah, it seems like it's gonna be predominantly focused on combat. I mean,
yeah, it's like For Honor, but then they're not gonna have. It seems like the customization for weapons and for armor is super, super, super plain Jane, which is odd too because, Borderlands.
Right. Yeah, this comes from Gearbox.
Right, like, I mean,
billions of guns.
Shit. Yeah, so I don't know. It hasn't really grabbed me at all, and I don't know if that's because, I mean, I've played For Honor and other shit like that, and I just kind of don't want it. The game looks gorgeous. It looks really pretty.
Yeah, the very first, like, announcement trailer for it from the Game Awards, I was all in. I was like, this looks awesome. I'm completely in, and the more I find out about it, the more I'm probably out, actually. I can't put my
finger on why.
I don't know. It just seems kind of generic to an extent. I mean, the combat is really cool, but like everything else just feels
like a go-to video game genre.
Yeah, it just seems, I don't know.
Like video game in a box almost.
Yeah. I have a hard time.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be fun.
I have a hard time placing exactly what it is, too. But there's just something about it that does not feel right. Like, it almost feels like it just checks off way too many video game checkboxes. And
yeah, for sure.
It's odd.
I feel you on that. And none of the characters that have been shown are, like, they're just kind of, like, generic.
Right.
They look like Reinhardt.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of, I mean.
Massive chest piece. Hands are huge.
You assume they have a deep German accent. Yeah, essentially right. Exactly. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that was Sony's State of Play. I mean, quickly, our thoughts on it. I thought it was okay. I mean, whatever. We knew it wasn't going to be anything about PS5. They had pre-announced that anyways. And on top of that, I mean, there's some good games in here. I was really expecting like maybe another like big first-party game maybe sneaked in here somewhere, but... I guess we'll have to wait and see for something again, maybe in August. I have no idea, probably September at this point. I don't really know, because they haven't really announced it, and Xbox doesn't announce theirs either. But overall, I thought it was okay. I give it probably like a B, probably.
I'm going to be more in like the C to C plus. I really wasn't a huge fan of this presentation. Like I said earlier, the three biggest things I'm looking forward to were those kind of quick trailers they didn't really talk about much. And kind of compared, I mean, this to me kind of matches up with like the Xbox Game Showcase, and I think the Xbox Game Showcase kind of showed off more. Granted, that was more first party stuff, so it's a little bit different, and it's not exactly apples to apples, but... yeah, I don't. There was nothing in here that I was super, super excited about, except for those three games, like smack dab in the middle of this thing. Really, other than that, it's all kind of
man. Eh. Did it ever feel and look like a Nintendo Direct?
Oh yeah, yeah.
With the slider and everything. Oh my god.
Everybody's which is fine doing that right now, because I mean,
yeah, it's fine. I just, man, holy cow, to go from like their first event that had all these crazy, you know, like animations in between things and all these cool things, and then basically the switch menu.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting, but I need to see another big event from them where they showcase their first party title stuff and really throw some crazy stuff out there. Cause right now both systems just feel like they're lacking a lot of shit day one.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of to be
typically
expected,
how it's
right.
Went. Yeah.
That's kind of par for
the
course.
It's just a shame. I mean, it's like every time this happens, we all sit here and go like, oh my God, yeah, there's not that many games, and then we have to wait like a year and a half.
I will say, at least this generation, like, there's a ton of backwards compatible stuff, which is great, because generally in the past there hasn't been that, so you will buy a brand new console and have like four games to play, and it does seem like...
Yeah, or it's been super confusing and been like, hey, like you mentioned there, you can only play like two games.
Right, and it does seem like there's actually going to be more available at launch on these consoles than there have been in the past. So I think we're going to be sitting pretty good and compared to, you know, past launches of generations. But it does seem a little lacking of major titles. I mean, you're going to have some, but it just seems weird. And granted, you know, again, we're in the thick of all of this, and this is the first time we've actually been podcasting during a console launch. So this is it's interesting because you do see a different side of it. You know, when the Xbox One launched, I was not nearly as into all of this as I am now. So
yeah, no, I completely agree. We'll have to see. I mean, I still have blast with the new system, but I just want to see probably like one or two more titles that really kind of grab me within the first couple months, at least, of it launching. I don't want to see like a 2022 and all that kind of shit. I want to see, you know, within the first, you know, 4 to 5 months of owning that system, that, like, there's enough first party
early
stuff.
Spring of 2021 type of stuff. Yeah,
exactly. All right, guys. Well, that'll do it for this episode. If you want to, please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Diggity Podcast for some new news. Also, when the podcast goes up, and general hilarity here and there, like me brushing my teeth to Pokemon once in a blue moon. So you can also follow me on holy crap, I'm having a brain fart. Xbox, holy cow. My gamer tag is Maple Jeff.
You Brody. Can follow me on Xbox as well at Luscious Brody, and you can also find me on PlayStation at Wolverine's Cousin.
Sweet. You gonna keep Wolverine's Cousin on PlayStation when you get a PlayStation?
I don't know. I've been thinking about changing it.
She got like Wolverine's Cousin twice removed or something like that. Guys, leave us a review. It helps us out a ton. Whether it's on iTunes, on Spotify, or Google Podcasts, it helps us get noticed on those platforms. And thank you to those who have left reviews for us in the past. And until next time, we'll see you next week with some more Bug Snacks news. Trying to figure out what the hell that is. See ya.
Bug Snacks.